The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this September 29th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. And I have a feeling we're going to do a lot of that today, of telling you like it is. And I don't think I'm physically able to hold anything back today after the debacle that we saw in College Station, Texas on Saturday afternoon. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this Monday afternoon. It's not miserably hot outside, so for that, I'm thankful. Happy Monday, Christian. Or
Monday,
Christian.
Yep. There we go. Not miserably hot outside, just in all other parts of life.
Just in your heart.
Yes, on this Monday afternoon. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of thoughts, a lot of feelings about this game here today. Not sure if we have a rundown like we do every day, but I honestly don't know how beneficial that's going to be today, because
it's more of a suggestion.
It's a suggestion box of what we could talk about if we needed to talk about anything, but I have a feeling it's going to be a lot of just straight off the dome. And another thing, here, look at this quote, look at this statistic, and then we rant about that for 5 or 10 minutes before working our way down.
Yeah, and so we're talking all about it today. Unfortunately, here we are again talking about another game for Auburn football that you just couldn't do it.
If you don't want to get worked up about this game, just go back and listen to last Monday's and just play the volume like twice as loud, because that's all it's going to be today.
It'll be very similar. You'll hear a lot of the same words, a lot of the same language.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to talk about that, I mean, we could talk about all the other crappy things that happened this weekend. I mean, USA getting beat in the Ryder Cup. My Green Bay Packers tying Sunday Night Football.
My neck really hurts.
Yeah, do you want to take today off?
I'm going to take today off, but yeah. I'm still going to get paid in credit for...
And then celebrate when I have
correct.
A good show.
Yes.
You can come and celebrate with me,
exactly.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, that's the way to go.
I think that's how that works, right? I mean, even the backup quarterback gets a ring, right? And yeah, I mean, there's other stuff. I mean, Bama won. We can talk about that if you want to.
Talk about, yeah, how your Packers went to overtime
and tied and
kissed their sister.
I saw people say, this was the greatest game I've ever seen in my entire life. And I was like, no, that game was ugly.
Yeah, no, I couldn't care about either one of those teams. And I was like, all right.
That game sucked. That game was horrible. And then, yeah, as a Packers fan, I would rather lose than tie. This isn't Europe. We don't tie. This is America. You win or you lose. There ain't no draw unless you're the NFL or a T-ball league. But whatever. We're not here to talk about those things today. Maybe I'll be okay by Thursday when the new week comes in. But
we're here to talk about the MLB wild card.
I mean, I would be okay with that.
Maybe later on in the show.
Maybe later, or tomorrow, or Wednesday, or Thursday. No, we are. We're talking Auburn. We're talking Texas A&M. Tigers go to College Station and drop another one. 16-10, Auburn loses to Texas A&M. Phone lines are open. They are. Come on in. We know you got thoughts. Give us a call. 334 334- 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Give us a call. Tell us how you feel about Auburn losing yet again to another SEC team on the road where you had every chance possible to pull out the victory. You can give us a call right now, 334-321-1390. The text box is open all show long. You can shoot us a message in there at 334-784-1067. We're talking Auburn, Texas A&M. If we have time, we'll get to some other games around the SEC, around college football, and then Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will be with us in hour number two. And so you can come on in and be a part of it and tell us how you feel. Auburn loses to Texas A&M 16-10.
I would like to start this Monday show off by reading a poem, if that's okay.
Sure. And
I started off my college career as a creative writing major. Quickly changed it because of the reasons I'm about to share, because I don't know if this poem is a haiku or the others, but this is a wonderful poem read by head coach Hugh Freeze following the game at Oklahoma
2 weeks ago.
Should I read this in like iambic pentameter too?
I'll play some somber music.
Sure.
I have some violin music I can
yeah.
play.
I'm going to read this like an old general with the accent. No, okay. Quote, "I probably should have been a little more committed to the run," he says. "We averaged 3.5 yards last week against a really good run defense. You've got to be able to be balanced somehow so they can't just tee off on you. So I think it's very critical that we find a way to get those dirty runs that keep us ahead of the chains. We had way too many third and longs. You're not going to have success in the world at all if that's the case." End quote. That was after Oklahoma. That wasn't after this weekend. The same copy and paste quote was restated. But that is the quote after Oklahoma's loss, or after the loss at Oklahoma, 24-17, where your running backs had 6 carries. Jeremiah Cobb had 6. Damari Alston had 7. 13 combined carries between running backs last week. Man, we got to find ways to get them the football. He should have had more carries. Heck, that's not even a quote realistically from Oklahoma. That's a quote realistically from halfway through last year with Jarquez Hunter, of, man, we probably should have found a way to just get him the football a little bit more. He looked really good when we gave him his opportunities, but he looked tired. You know, we didn't want to wear him out. So maybe Jeremiah Cobb and Damari Alston were just absolutely exhausted this weekend, because after 13 carries last week at Oklahoma, you follow that up with 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 carries by running backs in the game. Not in the first quarter, not in the first half, not in the second half because you're down by so much. In the contest. And 3, if not 4 of those runs were on 3rd and 15 or more when you are surrendering your drive trying to punt the football. That's miserable.
It's baffling.
It
literally makes you sit back and just ask, how?
A running back did not touch the football the first 15 minutes of the game.
Yeah, it was in the second quarter before Auburn ran it with a running back.
When was it?
Time.
Hold on, we sent you...
You sent me a text like 12:30 or something like that?
I think that's exactly right, yeah. 12.5 minutes to play in the second quarter was when Auburn's running back touched the football legitimately for the first time. There was one true carry, but it got called back for holding, believe it or not.
Yeah, after a pretty nice
game. And there was another
game.
One. There was a false start in the first quarter. So both attempted runs that Auburn attempted to have were called back because of penalties.
It's so crazy to look here at where we've come and where we've been, right? From the opener against Baylor, where Auburn ran the ball and ran the ball and ran the ball. Why? Because it's what Baylor gave you, and Auburn took it, and Auburn won by 2 scores. Look where we were and look where we are in such a short amount of time. You've gone from running it down Baylor's throat to simply not running it at all. Simply being scared or just dumb and not running the football. But I also want to take you back to not the previous head coach, but the previous head coach. How many times did we sit there in the waning years of the Gus Malzahn era and say, Hey, can we not run it up the middle in front of the big SEC defensive line that's waiting for you, who has five or six in the box, and they're waiting on you to run the football up the middle? Can we do something different than run the ball, Gus?
Yeah, on first and 10 and then second and 9 to where it's third and 12.
Look how far we've come. We went from firing somebody because we thought he ran the ball too much and the game had passed him by to now having a head coach who simply doesn't run it at all. Even when it makes sense, even when it's obvious.
Even when he says,
yeah, we should probably do that a little bit more. But you know what, Christian? It's times like this that you just got to stick together. I know it's difficult, but some would say, quote, it's about sticking together through these difficult losses. We're so close, we're not far off. Are you freaking kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's the quote from Hugh Freeze after he lost yet another game to Texas A&M. Another game on the road. Another game in the SEC. We're 2.5 years into this experiment. And he says, we're so close. We're not that far off. I'll tell you what's far off. Your offense, your game planning, your play calling.
Your adaptability.
Your ability to coach. That's far off. This is one of the worst offensive stretches I've ever seen in the history of Auburn football. And there are people who have been watching it and covering it for double the amount of time you and I have. And I would love to hear from those folks. Folks like our friend Bill Cameron, who hosts The Drive. He's been doing it a lot longer than we have. I would love to hear what he has to say on that. Is that the Oklahoma game and the Texas A&M game may have been the two worst offensive execution games I've ever seen, ever. The numbers coming out of this, which we're going to get to as we go, this was JV football type of stuff. This is peewee football type. Heck, peewee football has better stats because neither team can tackle. And you know what they do in peewee football?
They run the football.
They run the football. They do it at the beginning. They teach it as soon as you can walk and put on a helmet and carry the thing. They run the ball. And it really is that simple. And I refuse to believe that someone can be that ignorant, that refusing, and just that plain confused with the offensive play sheet in their hands. I refuse to believe it. And it's baffling to watch.
Auburn's running backs carried the ball so far in SEC play a combined 21 times. Le'Veon Moss, last week, for A&M, carried it 21 times. Think about that. Think about, we saw Le'Veon Moss carried a decent amount, but it wasn't like, holy cow, he's getting the football every single snap. But he still had 21 carries for 139 and one touchdown. Auburn running backs have carried the ball 21 times in the last 120 minutes. Think about that.
You're averaging, what, about 2.5 carries a quarter with that?
Yeah.
With a running back? You're averaging 2.5 carries with a running back per quarter in SEC play.
Which, based off of Auburn's drive summary last week, without being able to get first downs, I mean, it's about right.
It sounds about right. It sounds about right. Read the drive summary for Auburn on Saturday.
Ooh, are you sure?
I think we're ready.
Okay.
I think
perfect.
We're ready. I think we're ready for it.
This is Auburn's drive summary against Texas A&M. On the road last week.
For the entire game.
For the entire game. 3 and out. Get ready to hear that a couple times. I'll start back over. 3 and out. 3 and out. Punt. 3 and out. Field goal. 3 and out. Halftime. Woo! Start of the second half. Turnover on downs. Punt. A touchdown drive. Thank you, Xavier Chaplin. Thank you, DJ Durkin. Touchdown drive that was one play.
Xavier Atkins. You're not thinking Xavier Chaplin, I promise. Ain't nobody thinking him.
Yeah, that's... I'll thank Xavier Worthy before I pull out. So touchdown of 2 yard. Thank you, Xavier Atkins. Apologies. I'll get to another point here in a minute. Then three and out, turnover on downs. Auburn had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 three and outs in the game. Of their 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 drives. So your offense walks on the field and almost half the time Hudson Cock is standing in punt formation 45 seconds later. If that's because you weren't running the ball to eat any clock.
You want to know how many punt yards Hudson Cock has this year? He's punted the ball in, what, 5 games now? Games he's punted the ball 23 times.
I believe he would say booted.
He has booted the football 23 times in 5 games for an average of nearly 5 times a game. 4.6 if you want to get analytical with it. I'll round up just to make my argument better. He's punting the ball almost 5 times a game, ladies and gentlemen. You want to know how many yards Hudson Cock has racked up through the air? 997. He has nearly 1,000 punt yards, and we're through 5 games of the season. His previous 2 years at Oklahoma State, he had 1,300 and 1,500.
He's on pace to blow those out of the
water.
He's
on pace to double those by 2 weeks from now. By the time you get done with Missouri, he'll have more than both of those. I just refuse to believe. And we're going to dive deeper into this as we go. I just refuse to believe that the offense is this bad. I refuse to believe that the game plan is what it is. Because it's just plain wrong. It's just plain wrong. You've got guys making millions of dollars for that game plan, for those play calls, for that strategy. Millions of dollars, Christian. And that's what they come up with. They had all week to come up with this. And that's the crap they put on the field. After you did the same thing a week ago and told the fan base, you're going to change. You're going to make it better. You're going to make it right. You're going to fix the problems that you have.
Let me read that quote one more time. I believe I should have been a little more committed. We averaged 3.5 yards per carry last week against a really good run defense. You've got to find a way to be balanced somehow so they can't tee off on you. We had way too many third and longs. You're not going to have success in the world at all.
But don't worry. They're close. They're close to fixing it. They're close to getting there. They're not that far off. Don't worry.
7 days later, after a 16-10 loss, quote, we probably need to be calling some more runs. I would love to have the possession right before the last one we had back. We had plenty of time to run the ball there, too. When is the, we probably should make a change? We probably should do something different. Why is that a post-game thing every single week?
Every week.
And you know what? It never is. We probably should have let Jackson throw it more. We probably should have let him drop back and gave him a little bit more trust. It's never that. Never that conversation.
I totally understand. If there's a game where you go into it with a game plan and just get rocked, and the other team just has your number, and they were ready for everything you threw at them, and they just had your number, and you come into a post-game press conference and say, yeah, we probably should have done this, this, and this. They got us today. But then you're supposed to make those changes. That's the difference. You're allowed to admit you screwed up. You're allowed to admit you probably should have done something different.
I won't even go that far. I think in the first 30 minutes you're allowed to.
Well, there's that too. And that's a conversation. Add that to the list of things to get to. The lack of halftime adjustments. The idea that if we continue to throw this spaghetti noodle at the wall, eventually it'll stick. Eventually it will work. That's the idea. That's the mindset. That's the Hugh Freeze offense. We're going to do what we want to do, and my goodness, we're going to do it, win or lose. You stopped it? Cool, we'll do it again. Oh, you're set up to stop it? Nah. You won't see this coming. No way. You won't see it. You only have 3 in the box? You're begging us to run? Sorry, man. My Waffle House menu says I can't do that. Waffle House menu says throw the ball. That's a fireable offense, Christian. That's a fireable offense for you to be so piss poor on offense 2 weeks in a row and do the exact same thing. That's a fireable offense. Auburn deserves better.
Maybe there should have been a lot more that was taken with more than just a grain of salt. It was taken with a little bit of worry that after the Baylor game, it was really hard for him to not throw the football. It was, okay, he learned. We're making changes. And then immediately, once something doesn't go your way, you're firing from the hip again. Go, go, go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this. Don't worry. We have some point total statistics. You're talking about the offense and losses. Oh, don't worry. We got some for you on the way back.
There's a lot more to get to on this Monday. Again, phone lines are open. We've got our thoughts out. Some, not all. A few, not all. And we're going to do so as we go. But we want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's the call-in number. If you've got thoughts, let us know right now. You can do so here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We're back after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being here on this, not even an overreaction Monday. This is just a reaction Monday. Just reactionary. Just hopefully we're speaking for those around the town who wear the orange and blue. It is
a repetitive reaction.
Man, this is a, for me, this is a, what year is this, 2025? This is a three-year nightmare that I've lived through football season on the radio, man. I've yet to have a good season to cover since I've been in radio. Maybe it's me. I'll take blame for it. Maybe I just need to, you know, pursue a different career path so Auburn football can win games again.
If there is good news over the break, we found out that Lee Scott and Auburn High play each other in basketball this year twice.
Yeah, they do. That'll be sweet.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah.
November 20th at Auburn and then December 5th
at Lee Scott
Academy.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That'll be a lot of fun.
That will be fun. God, basketball season's right around the corner. Holy crap. Anyways.
2 weeks ago, it would have been, no, we don't want to wish upon basketball season already.
Bring it on, man. Bring it on. I am all in on that. We're continuing to talk Auburn and Texas A&M. We have more stats and notes and things to get to. We do have several people texting in the text box. I want to get to those here really quickly while we have a few minutes. And we'll keep talking about this after our bottom of the hour break as well. Several people have said, there's a text from yesterday I did not see. Oh, there's a lot there. That's a big old message right there. The question from this person, again, 334-784-1067. It's the text box number for our show. If you want to send your messages in there, you can do so. Phone lines are open, too, 334-321-1390. The question is why?
That could be the only.
I mean, it's the question.
Just why?
Why? Says, he had me at, I'm not a fool. I think we've got to go to a bowl game. Remember that quote from, what was that, SEC Media Days?
No, that was the region's golf tournament.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He said that on a different show. He said, I'm not a fool. I think we got to go to a bowl game. This person says they have no hope. The world isn't totally upside down, though. Mr. James Franklin lost a big football game. So, don't worry. All is right in the world. Penn State and James Franklin do it again. And then they asked how his golf game's doing. This person in our on-the-line text box, again, 334-784-1067, says a good offensive coach should have his first drive and the end of the game plan down so that you are ready to execute when it's time. The last two games, Auburn went 3 and out on the first drives of the game, had all week to prepare, and could not get a first down at the end of the game both times. The team is not prepared. I would agree with that. I would absolutely agree with that. Jeremy says, LOL that y'all talking about adjustments in three games versus Power 4 teams this season. The opening scripted possessions, scripted in quotations there, have totaled 9 plays. Listen to this. Jeremy says, the first drive in the three P4 games Auburn has played in this year, 9 plays for negative 14 yards. We can't come into the game with a plan. What makes you think we can adjust on the fly during the game? He's absolutely right.
Well, yeah, I think the point that's getting missed, though, is they love what Hudson Cock brings to the football field, and why would you not want to go ahead and show off his talent early in the game? It's like when you're playing pickup ball and you just give a team a turnover because you want them to start with the ball because you feel like your team has the advantage anyways. We've seen that happen a couple times, and now you're just at the point like that with Auburn. You trust your defense so much, and they've given you they gave you more points last week than the offense did, so why not just play defense in hopes that, you know, your defense is going to find a way to get you on the board or get you into the red zone? I mean, it really is an impressive feat. We're talking about, man, some of these stats that we have found and we have seen on social media and saying that Hugh Freeze halfway through year 3 is 14-16 overall. You're 1-10 against ranked teams. You are 0-6 against ranked teams on the road. And the team averages in those 16 losses, the team averages 15.2 points per game. 14-16 overall, 1-10 against ranked teams, 0-6 against ranked teams on the road, and you average 15.2 points per game in those 16 losses. And I'd be willing to say that a couple of those touchdowns scored, you give credit to the defense a lot like you did last Saturday. We're going to continue diving into this conversation, trying to work on the phone lines a little bit as well as we have realized we're trying to get a couple calls, but having a little bit of struggles with that. But we continue talking about our frustrations coming up next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Monday edition of On the Line. He is Jacob Goins. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. And apologies for inviting you to call in on the phone lines at 334-321-1390. Had a couple texters in the text box asking if it was open, and so Jacob is here momentarily laying on his back trying to fix the cords in the right over on the other side of the desk, but trying to
I'm working on it, folks.
I don't know if they can hear that, but he said he's working on it, folks. But no, we're having a really fun conversation, not frustrating whatsoever about just what the past 2 weeks were, have been, and we've continued to read off some of these statistics, and we've gone through what Auburn had just, or what their total now is through these 30 games halfway through year 3. We talked about the drive summary. We did not talk quite yet about, we got a text about the first 3 drives against, or the first drive of each game against P4 teams being 9 plays. A conversation we haven't had quite yet is the idea that Auburn had 3 drives to go and win the game last Saturday, and you accumulated negative 1 yard in those 3 drives. You had 1 yard total in the fourth quarter. A&M ran the ball for more yards than you had total offense. They passed the ball for more than you had total offense. So combining those with the fact, again, that Auburn had 1 total yard in the fourth quarter, and in the 3 drives that Auburn got the football to try and go win the game, you accumulated negative yards, negative 1 yard on those 3 drives. And a lot of the frustration that we've continued to build when you talk about that is the fact that on the very last drive of the game, Texas A&M was in just about straight up prevent defense. And Auburn gets, as everybody saw, to 3rd and 1 with about a minute left. And you can literally sit there and, okay, you can still run the ball. Run the ball, get the first down, and you feel like you're at a halfway decent spot. You're still moving the chains, and you get a fresh set of downs. Instead, on 3rd and 1, you throw the ball, and it's incomplete. Then on 4th and 1, you can still have the same mindset because they're running 3 down front linemen, not really allowing anything over the middle of the field, not allowing anything to the deep third of the field. It is simply, okay, we'll give up these short yardage plays. We'll allow you to run the football and pick up a yard or two if you want to. But you run the football again, and on 3rd down and then on 4th down, you turn the football over to end the game. And if that didn't, that summed up everything over these past 2 weeks, because even in obvious running situations, even in obvious running times, just to get a first down and give yourself a fresh set of downs to where you can continue to work your way down the field, you average -1 yard in the 3 drives that you had, which you went 3 and out, 3 and out, and then you turned the ball over on downs. Jackson Arnold threw the ball 33 times a game or 33 times last week against Texas A&M, averaging 3.8 yards per attempt. Auburn running backs, again, we've had the frustration already that they only ran it 8 times. But that was 8 times for 4.75 yards per carry. You feel like one of those statistics would show you that you should do one thing more than the other. And we've not gotten to the penalties. We've not gotten to the pre-snap penalties. We've not gotten to the post-snap penalties. But it's the fact that Auburn's running backs have run the ball 8 times, averaging over 4.5 yards per carry, yet it's just refusing to be done. Welcome back, sir.
Yeah, sorry. The phone lines are still down, unfortunately. I'm working diligently. But text box is open, 334-784-1067. And you're right. I mean, it's the fact that, yes, we could sit here and complain about the lack of running the football. We could do that for the next hour and a half if we wanted to and could come up with reasons why it's idiotic for them not to be running the ball and just head-scratching, confusing. And again, I refuse to believe that someone could be so close-minded in not running the football. But then you start to zoom out a little bit. And it's, well, this offensive line that we told was so great in the preseason kind of is not good. Kind of is bad, actually.
In the passing game, which I feel like almost doubles down.
Which is crazy because you saw them in the running game against Baylor. Yes, they were bullying that Baylor defensive front, but they're creating holes. And the few times that Auburn does run the football, half the time, they bust it off for 10, 12, 15 plus yards. So why in the world would you look at that and say, nah, that's not cool? Why not? Why do that when you could throw it downfield and see if it can get intercepted?
Do you remember, I know you do, a question that doesn't really need to be answered, but the listeners and everybody listen and remember the quote that Hugh Freeze had about 2 or 3 weeks before the season got started. And he talked a lot about the run game and how he felt like there was a lot of confidence running the football with the running backs. And then when Jackson needed to, his legs were going to be implemented as well. And he said, the only thing that we're not where we want to be right now, the place where the offensive line struggles, is in true drop back passing. We haven't had a lot of success on that side of things, of keeping the defense out of the backfield. And we use that wishful thinking of, okay, well, that's because Auburn's front seven is just that good, which we'll get to in a minute because they are. But man, we got to the point where it's just, you're at the point right now of, it's impressive because it feels like you're trying to make everything so difficult. You said it when we were watching the game against Texas A&M. You said if Auburn went 3 and out because they ran the football 3 straight times, I would stand up and applaud.
Yeah.
And I
absolutely
think, and more times than not, I'd be willing to bet that it wouldn't happen. You could run the ball three straight times, and I would be willing to bet you pick up a first down.
Between the offensive line, who's actually not bad in run protection and run blocking and creating holes, and yeah, Damari Alston or Jeremiah Cobb, absolutely. I'm very confident you could pick up a first down. And the few times that Auburn did pick up a first down on Saturday, no tempo, no urgency.
Tempo is gone. Hugh Freeze took a page out of Bruce Pearl's playbook of, okay, well, look at this offensive efficiency that Bruce Pearl had with Jani Broome in this offense. They didn't have to go fast, and they had a lot of success. Let's try that on the football field.
And it doesn't work with this team. I can promise you that. That's what's frustrating, too, is the three first downs that you got on Saturday. You wasted the next 25 seconds. Jack called it meerkat. Everybody stands up. All right, everybody look to the sideline. Ready? Here we go. In unison. 3-2. And everybody looks to the sidelines for 15, 20 seconds. Tell me you don't know what's going on without telling me you don't know what's going on. And I'm talking to the players on the field. You pick up a first down. Let's go. Let's move. Let's have a play call. Let's have something already in the back of our brain that we can call on first down while the defense is trying to sub, or while the defense is trying to get set, or they're trying to figure out what the heck just happened. Let's go. Let's get down the field. But Auburn doesn't do that.
No, they choose to they do it more than anybody I've ever seen. After timeouts or starting a drive where you break the huddle with 8 seconds and you try and almost do the Gus Malzahn sugar huddle, which was always one of three plays. It was either the little quick pitch or it was the fake pitch and the rollout. It's one of the very few plays that, again, you knew exactly what was going to happen every single time. The quarterback lined up off, or the halfback lined up off center, and they just loaded one side of the formation. That worked like twice. But Auburn snaps and breaks the huddle, rather, with 8 seconds on the play clock. And then they get to the huddle and they try and check and realize that things aren't working. And that's what leads to false starts. That's what leads to illegal shifts, illegal formations, which you've seen so many of them already, not even including the fact of I can't hear the snap count. I can't hear when Jackson claps his hands, or I can't hear the silent count because we have 19 different hard counts that we're trying to use, and it just makes the offense have absolutely zero flow.
And so, again, you start to zoom out here a little bit on Auburn can't run the football. Well, sorry, let me rephrase that. Auburn won't run the football, right? And so if you're not running the football, what are you doing? You're passing. And you're trying to pass.
Or punting.
You're passing that leads to punting. You are dropping back with Jackson Arnold, who I will admit has not played good. But he is not to blame here, ladies and gentlemen. He is not to blame at all. Well, maybe not at all, but most of it is not his fault. You are now dropping back to pass 30, 35 times a game in front of an offensive line that's simply not good. They're simply not good. Did you know that coming into this year, this stat from our friend Nathan King over at Auburn 247, he says this was the 7th most experienced offensive line in the country coming into this season. 7th most experienced offensive line in the country is Auburn. Also, do you remember this? Because I do. I remember talking about it. I remember being excited about this.
Draft stock?
Draft stock, baby. When Hugh Freeze stood in front of the media and said, we had a scout here last week that told us 6 of our offensive linemen were draft eligible right now. Had graded out to be NFL guys. Right now.
And for those that don't know, you can only play 5 at a time. And there were 6.
An NFL scout told Auburn 6 of them were good. 6 of them were NFL ready. That they were going to be playing on Sundays. Other than Connor Lue, these guys can't play on Saturdays. That was a lie. Maury says that was a lie. That lie detector test determined, nope, that was false. So what the heck has happened here? What has happened with the idea that Auburn refuses to run the ball, your play calling is crap, your offensive line is bad, your receivers have no chance, and the few times you do deliver a good ball to them, seems like they can't come down with it unless his name's Cam Coleman.
Or it's holding.
Or it gets called back for holding. I just don't understand. Is regression the right word? I think to regress, you have to have started ahead, right? You had to have been good at some point and taken steps back. That's what regression is taking steps in the wrong direction. Auburn was never good. We thought they were because they bullied one of the worst defenses in Power 4 in Baylor. But Auburn's offense was never good. We were fooled. We were hoodwinked again. We were sold a pipe dream that simply wasn't there. And it's embarrassing to watch. This was the second week in a row that Auburn embarrassed itself on national television. Think about that. For a program that's been in the mix of it for 5 years now. It's been the laughingstock of the SEC, man. You've got Mississippi State winning football games right now. They almost beat Tennessee on Saturday. They had every chance to do it. You can make the argument they should have done it.
They put up 34 points.
With Jeff Lebby, who actually may end up being a pretty good coach when it's all said and done. So why can they do it? Why can every other SEC team figure it out? Vanderbilt is winning games. Vanderbilt's a top 20 team in the country.
Vanderbilt's undefeated.
And hosting College Game Day this weekend when Alabama comes to town. Or other way around.
Other way.
They're going to Tuscaloosa.
But still,
they're going because of Vanderbilt.
They're going because of Vanderbilt, yes.
They're
exactly.
going because of Diego Pavia, because of Clark Lee, and because of Vanderbilt football. How in the world can Vanderbilt figure it out? Mississippi State figure it out? Missouri, over time, has figured it out? Kansas is good at football? Indiana's good at football? You have programs who have historically been embarrassing themselves that are now winning games. And yet Auburn can't do it. And I'm not blaming one man because I think it's deeper than that. But there's a generational problem at Auburn. And I don't know how to fix it. I really don't. And that's getting deep. I'm sorry, but it's true. There's a problem within Auburn, and you better figure it out because you're entering your Tennessee era right now. You're in it. You're in your Tennessee era where you just simply are going to be bad for a long time if you don't do something about it.
We're going to ask a really good question to start hour number two, but just the idea that – when you look at the SEC as a whole, and it gets to the point of Auburn is now one of those teams that we've talked about for so long being the Missouri, being the Vanderbilt, being this Mississippi State, being the Arkansas, being the Kentucky, where when you see them on the schedule, you feel good about it. And you say there is no way that you should lose this football game. Or if you see them scheduled and it's okay, good. We can find a way. If you can beat these two teams, then all of a sudden you have Missouri or you have Kentucky coming to town. That's where Auburn's at right now. The permanent opponents, Vanderbilt's happy Auburn's on there.
Yeah, absolutely. Until Clark Lee leaves and gets a better job.
But still, just the idea that Auburn is now in that category that we've talked about so many teams of the past decade or so, it's absolutely insane to think. And I'll leave this here as we head to break. I know we got a couple calls we're going to get to on the other side of the break. But I was talking with one of my buddies after the game. And he said something that I didn't agree with at first, but the more we talked about it, the more that it seemed true. We've talked about the play calling being really poor over the past 2 years, but he said if Auburn had last year's play calling, they're undefeated. How much does that hurt to think about? Because I think it might be true. If there was last year's play calling, it's somehow gotten worse. Although every other aspect of the team has gotten better, the play calling's gotten worse, and it's led to a 3-2 start. That's hurt. That hurts.
Ain't no doubt. All right, let's get to our final break here in hour number one. I think the phone lines are fixed. We've got two people on hold. We're going to get to you guys. Clay and Montgomery and Terry, hold on. We're going to do our best to get you both in on the way back. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. We're back right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrap it up. Hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines are back open. We want to hear from you, 334-321-1390. We can't get you all right now, but we're going to do our best as we go. We start with Clay in Montgomery. You're on the line, my friend.
I'll be as quick as I can. I'm going to take a little bit of issue with you, Jacob, and welcome to you, Christian, too. Y'all do a great job. I think you can say that Auburn has regressed already this year. After the Baylor game, let me give you this stat. Mm-hmm. I want you to marinate on this one. On the game cinching drive that Auburn had against Baylor, when they were up one score, Baylor had cut it to one score, and Auburn drives like 13, 15 plays. Auburn ran the ball 7 times.
Yep.
On one drive. 8 times in an entire ball game is completely unexcusable. And for the head freaking coach for 2 weeks in a row and for 3 years in a row say, we need to find a way to run the ball more. You know how you run the ball more? You call a freaking running play. You don't call a stupid high school level pass. I've been to the two home games I've attended, and Auburn's passing game looks it's not as complicated as Lee Scott's or Auburn's passing game. It is the most juvenile passing game. Hand the ball to a running back, because for a whole week, all of my Auburn friends, and we talked about how refreshing it was. Auburn's finally running the ball. Mm-hmm. What if they would have given Jarquez Hunter the ball, you know, 7 times on a drive?
Yep.
How good would he have been? And then you just go completely away from it. And after the game, say, we got to find a way to run the ball more. Well, dadgum it, man. Call a freaking running play.
Mm-hmm. You're right on it, Clay. You're right on it.
On 3rd and 15, a draw on 3rd and 15. Yeah, that's going to fool them.
Our run games on third down have become the screen game.
Yeah. When you've just given up. When you have literally, when you have laid down and said, well, we're not getting these 15, 20 yards, so here you go. We'll go ahead and concede and punt it away.
And tell me why in the living world we can sign the supposed best offensive lineman transfer in the country and he cannot stay on side. He gets holding calls, and he gets whooped. He had 4 very detrimental plays to Auburn in that game.
Just in that game alone. Just in that game. That doesn't count, yeah, Oklahoma.
Exactly.
Yep, you're right. Clay?
Six points from one in the game makes it even more frustrating.
I'm with you on that.
Your defense is working their tail off. It's just, I'm like you, I'm sick of this stuff that we have to put up with as Auburn fans. It's just like being an Auburn basketball fan back in 1995. This is what it was like for all y'all young guys to be an Auburn basketball fan when we had 3 All-SEC players on our basketball team, and yet we did not even make the tournament. We were 17-15.
I'm telling you, Clay, we appreciate you, my friend. We're getting kicked out of here for the first hour. You hit a lot of great points, my man, and we're going to keep talking about it coming up in hour number 2. We got more phone calls to get to as well. We want to hear from you. Hour number 2 is coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7. ESPNAU.com and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 1067. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 1067, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 1067. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. And I don't know if we're allowed to judge our own show or not, but I'd say we did okay in the first hour. We did all right in getting our initial thoughts and feelings out there. And we're going to get a lot more of your thoughts and feelings out there as we go to where we have several phone calls in hour number one. We have three people waiting as we speak. Plus, I think about 17, 18 text messages in our text box as well. And so, Christian, I'm going to call an audible here. I know we normally have our second hour kind of intro and things, but we got a lot to get to and not a lot of time to do it.
Our second hour intro, first hour intros, if you want to go back and listen to hour number one, go back and listen to the podcast. Wherever you get your podcast or on ESPNAU.com, second hour is the same as the first.
Yes, it is. 334-321-1390 is the phone line number. It is open. It is back. It is ready for you to be in it. 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 784-1067. We are going to read those as we go along as well. But we start hour number two with Terry, who's been holding on for quite some time. Terry, you're on the line, my friend. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to you guys. How y'all doing?
Doing all right.
Guys, let's talk facts for a second, okay?
Let's do it.
Auburn has addressed the wide receiver, the quarterback, and the offensive line problems on this football team. So that means the problem lies on the sideline.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
So, I mean, what's more to be said? The offense stinks. I mean, I said it when this preseason started, as the preseason. For Auburn to be successful, the offense has got to click. It's got to work, and it stinks. It just flat out stinks.
And I think that, Terry, I think that comes down to you're right, to the guy on the sideline who A, puts the team together, but B, is calling plays. And something that Christian and I were talking about yesterday was there's no secret on who's calling plays. When the broadcast pans to Hugh Freeze, who's barking orders in the headset with his Waffle House menu in front of him, there's no question on who's in charge of this offense.
Auburn is staring 3-3. Right in the face.
I think
only
even
3-3.
Yeah,
I think they're staring 3-4 or 3-5 in the
my
face.
My question to you guys: has the phone calls already started?
I think there are rumblings, Terry. I think those rumblings have begun.
Okay.
Appreciate the call.
Guys. Y'all take care.
You too, Terry. Good to hear from you. 334-321-1390. And the rumblings, we know what those are. And we will get to those eventually. I will say this. I think there are conversations below that conversation that have absolutely started.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Much more of the can we conversations. Are we able to conversations?
Yeah. Okay. Let's continue to get to the phone lines. 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Is this me?
Yep, it is.
Hey, War Eagle, this is Andy.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, I'm going to do this quick. You got a lot of tech and stuff. While I was waiting in the kids' line and while you were under the table getting the phones to work, I was making a list of phone calls I made over the past couple of years of concerns, just being kind of hyper-vigilant of, you know, just little red flags. So
yeah.
the first was his house. You know, he bought a house that I said, it'll be easy to sell when he's ready to go. So not a red flag. Who knows? Maybe he likes being close to campus. picking Thorne was off. And then the next year, him really back at...
Serious?
Kept saying the same thing after loss last year. I mean, what he's doing now. Spending millions on this QB who is benched. It's kind of like, all right, maybe he sees something we don't see. I called last week about Oklahoma was so angry about Arnold. Remember, I was like, they are upset, you know, and now I'm seeing all the feedback of like, see, this is what we're talking about. Like, he ruined our year. We're so glad he's gone. And now you're finally seeing it, Auburn. Make this make sense. I know you guys are trying to. There's a lot more here, but I know you're young, but have you ever seen the movie Major League?
Yeah.
And the premise is that they're trying to destroy the team and make them lose.
Right.
And that makes more sense than anything else. I mean, I think, and I hate doing this, but I'm going to do it. You say no holds bar on your show. These people I'm about to say, they're grown-ups. They've had a good life. But I have people in the education system and the healthcare system here at Auburn, and Hugh Freeze's kids are terrible people. So you put that all together, and I think he's just a narcissist. I think I cannot believe he can be this bad at what he's doing. I mean, so bad that we all know how bad that game was, and it was even more sickening watching other football, even smaller programs. Like, oh, the quarterback hikes the ball, he backs up. Oh, they're running in, he runs around, he makes a complete pass. Just the most simple things we couldn't do. And yeah.
Well,
again,
I'll give you that one. I'll give you the idea, Andy, of watching other opponents and watching other teams and things. And we appreciate the call. We got literally two more behind you and a bunch of texts to get to as well. I'll give you that, the idea that other teams make it look easy, right? That you can look around the country and be like, man, how can these other teams do it? But Auburn can't. I totally understand that. I'm not going into personal things about people and who they are, or what kind of a person they are. That I won't touch that. But we were doing the same thing Saturday night, watching teams just
We were talking about, man, this game just needs to get over so we can watch teams with beating heartbeats on the offensive side of the football. We can go and watch them.
Even Penn State, Oregon, a game that was disgusting through the first half. Both teams made adjustments and started moving the football and scoring, and that game became an instant classic against two of the best defenses in college football. They were still able to make it happen when it mattered most. So I absolutely get that point from Andy. Okay, let's continue. 334-321-1390. Again, screening calls just isn't happening right now, so we're throwing it to people as we go. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with now? Yes, no, maybe. Well, I guess I will try to figure out who that is if we want to. Well, let's try this. 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Ty the Tiger.
Ty, there we go. I got you, brother. What's up?
Oh, not much, man. I got some good news and bad news, man.
Well, I always say start with the bad news.
Bad news is we got 5 weeks till basketball starts.
Is that bad news or good news?
Well, that's unfortunate. That's the good news is we got 5 weeks till basketball starts.
Yeah.
You know, we had the number one recruit for 2028 in the house and this weekend, so we'll see what that happens. You know, in the other news, y'all see the new who's going to be running the field, Tommy Tuberville's slot or –
Yeah, we did see that. Old Paul Feinbaum is having discussions about that.
We are so screwed. It's Alabamians, guys. I ain't trying to be political on here. It's got to do with sports, a lot to do with sports. But can we please stop voting people in because they talk to us on a Saturday on a –
Ty, I think I'm running for Senate, man. I think Senate, Governor, President.
I will vote for you, sir.
I at least got one vote. I mean, look, I have a microphone, so, I mean, it makes me qualified, right? I have a name.
You got the constituents, dog.
That's what I'm saying, man. I've seen that this morning, and it seems like there's some legitimate steam to that, or maybe some momentum there of Paul Feinbaum running for Senate. I don't know, man. Keep me out of the political stuff. I want nothing to do with it. Believe me.
The last thing I'll say is it actually proves that they are puppets and nothing but talking heads. And I don't care if you talk about politicians or sports announcers.
I'm with you.
Anyway, but let me get back to, guys, it just, I don't understand how Chaplin can go from, early this year, before the season started, he has rumors of being a first rounder. And now we're talking about benching the guy. That is coaching. That's development. I don't know why we can't run a slant. I don't know why that's not in our playbook. It dang sure doesn't happen when we get out on the field with one of the best receivers in the business. I don't know, guys. I'll be honest with you, man. I feel really, really bad for our defense.
Our defense has
played two light out. At one point, our offense scored 3 points Saturday. I am not getting credit to Jackson Arnold in the offense that touchdown. If that guy drank a little bit more Gatorade, he makes it to the end zone, the offense don't score a touchdown at all.
Or if his buddy turns around and gets a block for him, he gets in the end zone too.
It's just ridiculous at this point.
Yeah.
And you don't know really what to even do, because you can't go fire Hugh Freeze because he owes too much money and he's got too good of a recruiting class coming in, have had in the last year or two. So it's hard to just say fire him, but at some point, the buck has got to stop somewhere. Here's my thing, and I'm not a college football coach. I don't get paid like one. I don't get talked to like one. I don't get people asking me questions like one. But I know that when I'm playing NCAA and I'm playing my son and he keeps throwing the same scheme out there over and over and over, I make adjustments. I choose a different play to the different side of the field or whatever. We're just going into the game and saying, hey, this is the game plan. If it works, great, we'll win. If not, it is what it is. We couldn't run the ball. I don't know what to do.
That's literally, Ty, and we appreciate the call, brother. Always good to hear from you. That is literally how it feels with this Auburn offense is we have a game plan. It worked in practice this week when we didn't go up against the defense, or we, as you said, told the defense not to guard the specific play so we could work on it in practice. It worked on Wednesday.
It worked during the walkthrough.
The walkthrough looked great. Everybody was in the right spot during walkthroughs. And you know what? This is my favorite. We saw something on film that we thought we could expose, that we thought we could take advantage of, that we thought we had the edge.
This other team doesn't make adjustments. So
they're going to play the exact same way they did last week as they will us. I promise they'll do it. They'll do it. And then it's like, well, that didn't work. Do we have a backup plan? Hey, Derek, do we have a backup plan? No? Well, dang. All right.
Try it again.
Try it again.
Go.
Yeah, see if it.
No, sorry. Not, slow. Not go. You want to know something crazy?
Before we get to another phone call, yes.
Yes. Oklahoma scored 24 points, which everybody knows. Texas A&M scored 16. You take away 7 points because of the play, which I will for the sake of conversation. You also take 7 points away from the bad snap from Reed Hughes and Hudson Cock being tackled.
Which were all bad snaps again this past Saturday.
There were more of them. Yes. But again, that's 14 points that our defense did not give up. Because I won't say
I agree
that those, even though they were the same, I guess we'll say seven because that was those were on the same possession essentially. But seven. So you've given up 33 points over the last two games. If you're DJ Durkin's defense, you put the fumble back on the football field. You've been outscored 33-14 the defensive side of the football alone. a conversation that we will have here coming up. But Auburn's defense outscored their offense 7-3 in this game. How many teams in the SEC will you say, all right, your defense gives up 16 points and essentially puts 7 points on the board? How many of the other 15 SEC teams lose the football game? And why is the answer probably zero?
It's a wild thought, isn't it? It's a wild thought. Let's get to the phone lines one more time before we get to break. 334-321-1390. James, you've been holding on for a while, my friend. We appreciate you doing so. You're on the line.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
You made a comment a while ago that from the previous caller, he made the comment about 3-3, and you said, hey, man, maybe 3-4 and 3-5.
Mm-hmm.
That's an immediate problem right now.
Yep.
But this may have been discussed prior to me calling, but the bigger problem is coming up. You've got the recruiting class that's, you know, in limbo. You got some good recruits. But more importantly, when this season progresses, if Hugh Freeze does not make changes to improve, you can figure it. Don't worry about the incoming high school class. He's going to have to do a major recruiting for his recruiting job on his current roster. I mean, that you talking about, there are going to be people that are going to be looking to go elsewhere if there's not a major overhaul in the offense. And
you're right.
I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was sitting there thinking last night, you know, I'm old enough to go back to the Barfield era.
I'm sorry.
And that was some painful times. And now we, you know, went through the potato famine. That was some painful times. But I think the potato famine, you know, their offense had some kind of life. I don't know if we've got a pulse, you know.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But, you know, like I said, and I don't know what to do. The powers to be, they're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. And, you know, if you can freeze, if the performance doesn't improve and you get rid of him, then, you know, your whole roster for 30 days is open game for everybody. So, or do you just let it ride and hope for the best for the season? So it's not a good position to be in, but that's it today. That's what we're faced with. But anyway, I appreciate your time, and thanks for taking my call, guys.
Absolutely.
Have a good afternoon.
Yep, you too, James. We appreciate you being patient and holding on through a bunch of calls. And, again, we have a bunch of texts that we're going to read when we come back. And, look, everybody has made some good points there, some that I agreed with, some that I didn't. But overall, a lot of points that I think you and I feel that we're allowing our listeners to get out today is Auburn's in a bad spot. Which is not a groundbreaking statement. I'm just claiming the obvious here. Is Auburn's in a really bad spot. And the tunnel that you're currently going down, you're not driving towards the light. There's none. There is no light at the end of this tunnel right now. You were embarrassed by Oklahoma. Really embarrassed yourself. And did so again against Texas A&M. There is no hope. There's not been one person today of the 15 phone calls we've taken and the 30 text messages I have on my phone from separate people. There's not one person that has claimed that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, there's not the one person that says, you know what, we lost two games to two top 10 teams in the SEC on the road by a combined 13 points. Because that's the small picture.
I've seen people say it. And there are instances where that argument applies.
Yes.
This is not one of them.
No, not at all.
Because of the way it went down.
Yes, that is the small picture. That is the, you look at that game by game. But if you go back and you, again, the box score viewer. If you go back, and not even the box score, just the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, oh, they lost by 7 to Oklahoma. Okay, they lost the defensive battle to A&M. You don't pay attention to the games, and you feel okay. But then you dive in and you saw what we saw and what everybody that's calling and texting saw of how it happened and how it's a repeat of what you saw last year and the year before and how in every single post game it's the conversation of this should have happened or this should have happened. It puts you in a spot where, like you said, whatever you're driving to, the light is in the rear view. You're getting further and further into the darkness, and you have that with Georgia, Missouri, and Arkansas in those next three games coming up.
Not to mention a road game at a top 20 Vanderbilt team in Alabama who looks better than ever comes to Jordan-Hare at the end of the season. In a pivotal year three of Hugh Freeze, you're simply going the wrong way. We'll take a break. We'll come back, read all of these text messages the best that we can. There's a lot of them, and we're going to get to them as much as we can here on the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We've got a few minutes here in this segment before we get to our bottom of the hour break, where we normally have Jacob Hillman with us on Mondays, but we're going to pick back up with him next week. We have just a ton of phone calls and text messages and things that we want to get to, and we know a lot of you have thoughts, and so Hillman kindly said that he's willing to come on next week and talk, especially with the bye week coming up too. There's no game to preview and things like that, and so we're going to pick back up with our buddy Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network next week on Monday. So phone lines are open for the next 30 minutes or so if you still have thoughts and want to get in. Again, we've had a ton of people interacting with the show so far today, and we love that. We want you to this is a safe space here during On the Line on ESPN. So 334-321-1390 is the phone line number if you want to be a part of the show. 334-784-1067 is the text box. And my goodness.
Thankfully, there's no thoughts in there, right?
Yeah, thankfully, there's nobody that has sent messages in here. This person says, Hugh should do what BP recently did and step aside before his own reputation is destroyed. There you go on that. I think there are people calling for that at the moment. Did we read this one? Yes, we did. Yeah, this one was talking about the team not being prepared, not knowing what the heck is going on. Yep. Shane texted in earlier, again in the text box, 784-1067, asked about the Volleyball Tigers, and so Jacob Hillman would have talked about that, but we can talk about that for a moment. How about Auburn Volleyball? Two sweeps to start SEC play, beat Alabama on Friday, and then beat Mississippi State yesterday. And so we had said earlier the last 3 years have been bad. Shane says it's been five, and I would agree with that Auburn just has not been good over the last several years. Again, you can get your thoughts in, 334-784-1067. Scott texted him and says that you're underestimating the damage of our offensive line. They cannot pass block. Whoever decided and did talent evaluation for the O-line should be fired, or perhaps the O-line coach should be fired. Says overestimating play calling and underestimating basic execution. Your thoughts on that? There's more to this text, but your thoughts on that? I don't think we are underestimating the lack of performance from the offensive line. It's been pretty bad
in the pass game. I don't think so. In the run game, I think it's been fine.
Been good enough.
And the few chances that you've actually had opportunities.
But the penalties and the misalignments and the miscommunication, I'm sorry, but saying that I can't hear you is just not okay. That may be true, and it probably is when you're inside of a stadium that holds 105,000 people. But maybe we don't share that information. Maybe we don't admit that. Maybe we find other ways to communicate on the road in the SEC. What a baffling, wild, crazy idea that is.
Or there's the idea of when you're on that tackle spot of turning your head to the right.
You're saying, like, look at the football.
Yeah.
Oh. Nah.
See when that's, you know, moved.
No, I think you should try to hear the clap over 105,000 people screaming at you.
Or the silent count, to hear the silent count.
Yeah. listen really hard. See if you can get it. See if you can figure. See if you can time it up. It's like a linebacker showing pressure. See when they just take off running to see if they can time up the snap count. Yeah. Maybe that's what chaplains do.
It's like the little ear test when you go. We used to go to the doctor and you'd put the headphones on and you'd have to like raise your hand with
yeah.
the ding in the left ear or the right ear.
We used to.
And
do
you're
that
just
school,
sitting there
yeah.
waiting for it. And it never comes, but you just raise your hand with confidence anyways. Just, oh, yeah, there had to have been one there.
Yeah. We were talking about other teams who were able to execute and do things on the football field. Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, Indiana. Those teams that have historically been
SEC teams.
Yeah, just any other team. This guy also says, Vanderbilt is a quality football team because they execute and because their coach actually has them do things they are capable of doing.
Yeah.
We saw that with Bo Nix. What happens if you can't pass block? That is where we are. Lose a few of the high-dollar wide receivers and hire some offensive linemen. You can actually block in the SEC. Bullying Baylor is not a useful metric. Because we were talking about Auburn bullying Baylor in the first game, which they did.
But we didn't come back. The only reason that we were excited because of that was because Auburn actually went out and did what they were supposed to do. It was not a surprising
right.
factor of, look at what Auburn's offensive line looked like. It was, okay, yeah.
Maybe
nobody,
it's good enough to
nobody
compete.
Was gonna nobody was gonna predict Auburn by two touchdowns and overly believe it, but it was the okay, we're excited because you finally did what you were supposed to do.
Clearly the offensive line strength is run blocking. Clearly.
Yes.
Which is what the Baylor game was.
And even Ball State, even Alabama State for that.
Yeah,
South
Ball
Alabama.
State sacked Jackson Arnold like 4 or 5 times.
Yes.
And we were just like, it's fine, whatever.
We said, I said it because it was Jackson was told to stay in the pocket, which I think that was partially the case, but still.
Still.
It got to the point of, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, this person texted, again, 334-784-1067, the text box number. You can give us a call right now at 334-321-1390. We're about to take a break. No Jacob Hillman today. We'll pick back up with him next week. It says, generational problem. Is 100% correct. You're spot on because I said earlier in the show that Auburn has a generational problem right now. Auburn has a bigger problem than just the man calling plays. And I think that's true. He also says we owe an apology to Peyton Thorne. Ooh. I don't think there's Auburn fans ready for that conversation, but I think you can start to see maybe Peyton Thorne wasn't as bad as we thought. I still don't think he was the answer. But he clearly wasn't the whole problem. And I hope that people are looking at Jackson Arnold in kind of that same vision. Arnold has not been good. But it's not all on him.
No. The few times that he's actually needed to make plays, he has. It just feels like every single time it gets called back.
Spectre says that Auburn has one play in the playbook where the wide receiver goes to the end zone for an 80-yard bomb, and if it's not there, you just eat it.
I'll say that there's two. There's the go route, and then there's the hitch route. Those are the two plays. And then there's a sack. And then you can put both of those on a six-face dice and then just roll it and see which one it lands on.
This person says, who owns the decisions to hire Harsin and having no credibility after that, or hiring Freeze? Who puts their names on those fiascos? Basically, who's going to fall on the sword here? Who's going to take credit for what has happened over the past several years? The problem with that is it's not just one person. That's the issue there. Is it's not just one athletic director. It's not just Alan Green. It's not just John Cohen. It's not just the board. It's not just the powers that be, right? There's a lot of people involved in these situations.
And they will never take the blame.
It'll also, yeah, they'll never take the blame. They'll never admit that it wasn't right. And, so there's a lot more to that than just pointing the finger at one person and making everybody feel better about it. That, unfortunately, as good as that would make you feel at the moment, at the time, that's not going to solve any of the problems. And that's just how it is. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We have more to talk about. We have more text. We have more phone calls. We have more to get to. And we'll continue to break this down the best that we can. And we want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We're back right after this here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
We We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes, kind of, here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We've changed the format around a little bit, just with all the calls and texts and everything. And again, we love you guys being a part of this show, and that's what today's like today are about. It's getting it out, letting it all get out there, if you will. Your thoughts, your comments, your feelings about Auburn football losing to Texas A&M, 16-10 in College Station. We're on the air for about 20 more minutes, and so if you want to call in, you can do so, 334-321-1390. You can also shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. Let's get back to the phone lines. Inspector, you're on the line, my friend. How are you on this Monday?
I'm pretty good. Look, I'm going to point some fingers. I don't care.
Okay.
You know, this started back in with Gus on this offensive line problem that we have today. I mean, he started it all. Yeah, I remember back in 17, he was on. His name was on the chopping block, and he had to win. He had to beat Alabama and Georgia that year, if I ain't mistaken, to win his job. And on top of that, they gave him a raise.
Yeah, yeah, that was the Auburn way back then. As you beat Alabama, yeah, you get a raise.
Yeah, well, that's when the offensive line woes started, and you know, Harsin. You know, I think Andy was bringing this up. You know, I ain't too convinced that Harsin wasn't trying to sabotage Auburn. You know, I believe he was. But, you know, that's to be said with, you know, with Green, A.D. Green. He's the one that hired Harsin.
Mm-hmm. And, who's currently the athletic director at Pittsburgh, in case you forgot.
Yeah, well, look what Pittsburgh's doing today. And, you know, I don't know what we're going to do with Gus. I mean, not Gus. Hell, Gus and Hugh is almost the same. I think they're twins, actually. And I don't know what's got into Hugh. This ain't the man we hired. Absolutely ain't the man we hired. I don't know what's happened to him. I don't know if he's sick or he just don't care anymore. But we're going to have to do something about it. The offensive line, you know, everybody's talking about run the ball. My goodness, every time we run the ball, we run into our own line. Then we got to go through them to get to the other line. So, you know, you can't make something out of nothing. So, if you open up the holes, you know, you can run the ball. That's all that's said to be done about that. Yeah. You got to open up the hole. All right, guys, I'll let you go. Let somebody else get on here.
Appreciate it, Spector. Good to hear from you. Always appreciate you listening and being a part of the show as well. Let's go into that a little bit more, because we also had a text. Ty to Tiger, who was on earlier, sent us a text as well and asked, how did the offensive line go up against the defensive line all summer and all fall and look like this? Basically saying, how did we not get word that the offensive line was this bad? And from the practices you and I got to see, Christian, and for our fellow friends in the media, I think you said it best, and I think you said it to me off the air, so I'll let you say it, on why we may have been fooled about this offensive line, other than being told that they got graded, that six of them were ready to play on Sunday.
Well, yeah, I think we mentioned it a little bit, but yeah, right before this last break, of just simply the fact of, I think it was Auburn saying, okay, the defensive line is just that good. The offensive line will come around, right? Like, it's almost early season baseball where the pitchers have a little bit of the advantage over the hitters, right? Just because of how things work, it takes a little bit more time to get used to it. So maybe as soon as Auburn goes up against a less inferior or a more inferior defensive line, there'll be more success. But, man, we you're talking about what we had with Gus Malzahn and the inability to recruit offensive linemen. Man, we had conversations earlier in this season of, imagine what Xavier Chaplin and Mason Murphy and Connor Liu could bring to this offensive line, of being a place that transfer linemen go to have success, or high school recruits on the offensive line go to because they're going to have fruitful careers, not only at Auburn, but Auburn's going to be able to push them into the NFL. Those were conversations 5-6 weeks ago, And now you're legitimately at the point right now where you don't know where to go with an offensive line unit.
And here's the thing. With the offensive line that Auburn is running out there right now, you brought in several dudes from the transfer portal. You mentioned Xavier Chaplin, Mason Murphy. Those were two P4 guys.
Two of the top. Chaplin was the first, and I believe Murphy was the fourth or fifth.
Two of the best guys in the transfer portal on the offensive line were coming in and were projected starters and, of course, are starting now. It was always going to take a little bit of time. Right, it was always going to take a little bit of time for them to gel and work together, and it was always going to be a step up in competition from Baylor, Ball State, South Alabama, when you played Oklahoma and Texas A&M. Two of the best defensive fronts you're going to see all season. Those things can be true, but here's the problem. Where they are right now, the issues that they have right now, they're not going to get fixed. If you can't learn how to line up onside as an offensive lineman, you're in trouble. If you can't learn how to not move before the football is snapped, you're in trouble. And if you can't learn how to block somebody without grabbing onto their jersey because you get smoked, you're in trouble. And if you have a head coach that can't figure that out or can't assess that, or an offensive line coach that can't assess that, you're in trouble. And the fact that while those problems are so visible, they're on film. They're on the film. They're in the stat sheet. They're all over it. You could circle it with a big red pen and say, hey, this is a problem. And the fact that your head coach, who's the offensive genius, or used to be, is still calling plays that don't go to your team's benefit. And that's what one of our texters said earlier. I think about talking about Vanderbilt.
Clark Lee and Vanderbilt. Yeah, they realize that they don't have the most talented team in the SEC, but it's realizing that you can do things to your team's success. Again, using the baseball terminology, you realize that you can't hit home runs 1 through 9. You might have one guy that has home run power, but those are some of the most frustrating teams out there. Look at what Coastal Carolina did to Auburn. Inside Plainsman Park, a perfect example.
Perfect example.
Yes, they hit a couple home runs in game one, but it's not a team that relies on the long ball. Instead, it's, oh, you get a guy on, here's a sack bunt, runner on second base, one out, make us not score. Get runners on first and second, lay down a bunt. You know they're not going to strike outs, hit a ground ball to second base, steal a run.
And guess what that did? Took them all the way to the College World Series Finals.
After one inning, two innings, three innings, all of a sudden it's 3-1, and you don't feel like Coastal's done anything, but they have a 3-run lead. It's just simply because they played to their strength. They knew what they needed to do, and they executed it better than just about everybody.
And look, I'll be the first to admit, it is unfortunate that Auburn is in a spot where you know that you're still not as talented as everybody else. Because you're not. Auburn is not as talented as the teams they're playing right now. But they're close. They're not there, but they're very close. And talent has not been the issue. But my argument with this is some people would take that as a shot at pride, right? It hurts their pride as an Auburn fan to say, wait, so we have to find other ways to win because our guys aren't good enough to line up man for man, position for position. Not every time, no. But there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with calling plays offensively or defensively that goes to your team's strengths and their weaknesses. We see it in basketball all the time. If your team can't shoot, dump it down low. Don't run a 5-out.
Or how many times do you hear, man, we're on a 4-minute scoring stretch. Go get to the free throw line.
Yeah, just get fouled. Get fouled. Kill the momentum. Do whatever. Our strength is our mid-range. Okay, cool. You have to find ways. Every team is different. Every team is constructed differently and has different strengths and weaknesses. But that's the problem, is Auburn's weaknesses are glaring.
And?
Glaring.
And the other thing about scouting is you're able to look at other teams and do the same type of evaluation of, okay, this is their strength, this is their weakness. You haven't really seen Auburn try to expose another team's weakness on the defensive side of the football field.
The game plan's been the exact same every game. The only time they adjusted was Baylor. And they adjusted by running the ball. But yet, they've gone right back to what they've always done with Hugh Freeze. He went back to what he's always done as a head coach, as an offensive guy, as a play caller, is we're going to throw the ball. And by golly, it's going to work. And if it doesn't, too bad, so sad, we're going to do it again. And that's bad coaching. That's bad coaching. Somebody said it earlier, I think it was Terry, who said, guys, talent isn't the issue here anymore. And we said that going into the year, that talent's not the issue. It's time to take another deep dive, an internal
evaluation.
I was going to say investigation. That's not the right word. Yeah, evaluation.
Self-evaluation.
Another self-evaluation of the head coach and his staff. And man, let me tell you, as an Auburn fan at heart, someone who has covered this team for several years, again, many people have done it longer than we have, that's exhausting. That's upsetting. And it just continues to be the dark cloud that hangs over Auburn that they just simply can't get out from underneath. You had to do that with Gus Malzahn. You pulled the trigger and paid him a bunch of money to leave. You then had to do it with Brian Harsin. And that one kind of did it itself, but you still had to do it. And now here we are again, where we said talent wasn't the issue. And I think you can look on the field, for the most part, talent is not the problem. Auburn's at a spot now where you have to do another self-evaluation of the head coach of the program and the guys that are underneath him. And what's unfortunate, Christian, is that it's not everybody. Right? This is like when you were in school and the teacher walks out of the room and the two problem kids get up and start scribbling on the whiteboard or something, or go through the teacher's desk and the teacher comes back and everybody gets in trouble, right?
Or when the teacher's gone for the day and the sub writes a note and the whole class gets yelled at?
Correct. Not everybody's to blame, but everybody gets the blame. Somebody said it earlier on the phone. Don't you feel bad for the defense? Don't you feel bad for DJ Durkin? Maybe not because of his paycheck. He's being compensated very nicely, as he should. But don't you feel bad for that unit that yet again has done its job?
For doing what they're supposed to do at the highest level.
And then some. And then some.
Goes back to the same question that we asked on Saturday night watching this football game. The question that I posed that we'll probably spend a little bit more time answering tomorrow. If the 15 other teams in the SEC... Heck, if every other P4 team got asked the question of, hey, will you take your chances walking in to Texas A&M, to Kyle Field, into College Station, where your offense only has the responsibility of putting up 17 points? Heck, you know what? I'll even grant you with essentially a defensive touchdown. Your offense needs to put up 10 points, and your defense is going to do what they need to do. How many teams would lose that game?
Or how many teams would win that game? Same question.
I think the list would be shorter for how many would lose.
Yeah, it'd be a lot shorter.
I think if you throw it for the SEC, 14 and a half of the 15 other teams win the football game.
That's what Auburn's defense gave Auburn on Saturday.
Shows you what the defense is freaking doing, man.
We get paid to put things into words. And today has been difficult to do that. And thankfully, we've had a lot of great callers, a lot of great texters who have done a fantastic job at doing just that. We got to take our final break, and we'll come back and quickly wrap up the Monday edition of On the Line, because it's going to take more than today. I can promise you that. But we will wrap up the Monday edition of the show right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a crazy show. I don't really know how to describe it. It's just, it feels like deja vu is what it feels like, man. It feels like the same nightmare that we've lived for years and years and years. And look, we are very blessed to do what we do. And I love this job. I wouldn't trade it for the world. But I think Auburn fans understand where we come from, and we understand where Auburn fans are coming from. Everybody's tired of having this same conversation, man.
It's not even new conversations.
It's the same exact conversation. And I'm not talking from last week to this week. I'm talking years.
Yes.
Years.
Week by
this.
Week is the minor picture of a year-by-year just curse.
And again, I feel sorry for the people that have done it for double the amount of time that we have. Right? The drive's coming up. Bill Cameron has done this a long time. Brian Matthews, their wonderful guest, he's covered Auburn a long time. These people have been here a long time. There are some long-time Auburn fans that listen to this radio station. I feel bad for those people, for what they're going through right now. It's exhausting. It's on social media. It's on the radio. It's on TV. It's in your conversations at work. You feel like it's never ending. But there is an end some way, somehow. And Auburn's got to find a way to turn it around. The season's not over yet. But my goodness, you got a big mountain to climb if you want to turn this thing around. We dive much deeper into this tomorrow, okay? We're going to have fun conversations, real conversations, because this is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. And we're back again to do it tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7.
Happy postseason baseball as well.
Tomorrow.
Game starts tomorrow at noon.
Yeah, baby. Well, we will talk a little bit about that tomorrow and a lot more football and other scores and news around college football as well. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.